Hello and welcome to episode 38 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I am joined tonight by my co-host, a man who idolised Richard O'Brien. It's Russ from Scotland Surrey. Russ, how are you tonight?
Searching for crystals.
Searching for crystals and Little Shop of Horrors and dancing like you were in the Little Shop of Horrors there. That's why I made that reference. Time warping your little heart out. How are you anyway? How are you feeling? Are you much better? Are you recovered? Are you not dying anymore?
Certainly not dying. And I'm not looking like the Emperor anymore.
I know. Honestly, when I put the two pictures side by side, I struggled to remember which one was which. So, I did remember, and I'm glad we postponed. Unfortunately, we couldn't make the schedules work over the rest of the week with one thing or another. So here we are, a week late, but never a... But probably a dollar short as well, to be fair. But we're going to rock and roll. Obviously, the big news that came out last Monday and we really wanted to record about it was the Premier League having launched. It was good of Surrey to take note, Russ, of our new recording day being a Monday. They dropped this bombshell on a Monday, which was very interesting. but we did. It's obviously been huge news for the Surrey community. I did notice a couple of cards pop up in your gallery, mainly obviously the Scottish lads. What's been your thoughts on it so far, Russ, with the Premier League launching?
I think it's fantastic for all our friends south of the border that have been waiting for cards for their team. Do you know what? My overall thought on it is just fantastic in general. Immediately I was able personally to look for the Scottish contingent, which was obviously going to strengthen my challenge. So purely, you know, looking selfishly for myself, I was like, right, brilliant. That's another maybe 20 cards or so that I've got as options.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Some of them are substitutes at the moment. Some of them aren't playing. But overall, it was good. I thought the launch was really good. I thought it was really slick. It's a huge announcement. It's an absolute monster. We've seen an effect, I think, of the marketplace. I think you'd maybe put something on Twitter saying that you expected to see some bargains, which we obviously did see because people were trying to generate money to buy the new cards. Some crazy prices, fair to say?
Yeah, I would say. It just coincided with me holding a balance, and the last thing I was going to do was buy day one cards because we've seen some crazy prices. And it's funny because some of the prices obviously have kind of started to level out. Some are still really high. But if you look at comparable players in other much lesser known leagues, they're about, you know, the other prices are about a tenth of what some of the Premier League players are going for. But it's understandable. These are the household names. These are the players that people have been waiting forever on. I can't speak about overpaying for your own team's players when I paid nearly 40 quid for a limited card back at the start when I was desperately filling up all my players from my own team. But yeah, it's been quite good. There was definitely some bargains to be had, as you say. People were, you know, there's only two ways you can generate ETH. You can either sell your players or put more money in. And in the current situation, there's not a lot of, you know, a lot of folk can't afford to put more money in. So their only choices were to, you know, start selling their players. But because everybody else is doing it, it was almost a race to the bottom for some prices, you know, where you could, and I seen it and I took advantage of it with a couple of players. I got Marcus Pink, top goal scorer in the Austrian league, a former hold of both of us. I think I've held him now three or four times. And I got him for sub 0.1. He's the top goal scorer in the league. So I think it was 0.09 I got him for. So it was 115 quid. And I, you know, I'm just like, well, if you're able to pick up players like that, I'm more than happy to let the Premier League players roll on by for now. But as I say, you start starting to see some of the prices being a bit more reasonable. I mean, I paid about 12 quid for a John McGinn limited just before the weekend. And over the weekend, because the supply is getting so much now, I think there's about 50 or 60 of each now. I think he was down to selling for about 7 or 8 quid. So it's not the end of the world of kind of overpaid, you know, by a fiver. It's not the end of the world. But if you were new building up a gallery, that's, you know, going to be a sizable chunk to lose. So it might be a wee lesson for some if you are working on a budget, is give it a week or two before you start on a new league when the new cards come out. Is probably a wee bit of advice on that one. But yeah, I think overall, Russ, it was the massive golden egg that they, you know, that was always there to go after, and now it's here. We are seeing, you know, the full effect. Obviously, even sitting playing with the common cards was kind of fun over the weekend, you know, because you're actually the games that are all on Sky and readily accessible to most. You were able to just sit and watch games and be like, you know, I was cheering on Haaland and just wishing City would pass him the ball. You know, they try to pass too much, but it was really good and really fun. So I think it's definitely something to look forward to moving forward there. What cards did you pick up? Obviously, as I mentioned, I've only got a John McGinn Limited at the moment. A rare is on my wish list, but that'll depend on some ETH and some sales.
Yeah, well, I went... my first card was a former Dundee United player, Stuart Armstrong, Limited. I really was just keeping an eye on the market, and I seen some crazy prices going. I'm sure there was like a the first Limited Scott McTominay was snapped up by a boy that was snapping up all the Man United cards. And I'm sure he paid like 250 quid. And I thought, okay.
No thanks.
Just take a step back here. I'll just take a rain check. So I have managed to acquire young Nathan Patterson, Limited, and the Jordi Maradona, Elliot Anderson, who currently has a Scotland flag. We'll see how long that one lasts. I'm not 100% convinced he's not going to change nationality. However, I've got the three of those in Limited, and I picked up a rare Stuart Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Again, I've been following it. What I have seen very openly is that the best time to pick up the players is what we used to do, you know, last overnight. Year, overnight. 3:30 in the morning, UK time, till maybe 6:30 in the morning. And I've looked at it with all the Scottish players, and they're roughly 20 to 25% cheaper for the auctions that have ended at those times. So, yeah, I've got, I do have my eyes set upon a few particular acquisitions. I'm looking to buy Che Adams rare, just to give myself more striker options. I will be looking to acquire John McGinn. I think I've made no secret that I do fancy Andy Robertson, but obviously he's been in the game a long time.
Oh, you're talking about something different. It was just how you said that.
All right.
I thought you were coming out there.
Oh, yeah. I do fancy Andy Robertson. He's quite good looking, yeah.
that took a while for the penny to drop. It's obviously anything is far from the truth then, clearly.
Yeah. Just, you're always on my mind.
Always on my mind.
There's a few cards that I am looking for. I wouldn't mind rare Billy Gilmore, and I quite like the look of Tom Kearney at Fulham. Just he's one of these guys, you'll not get decisives very often, but every so often he'll maybe pop up with like an 80 or a 90 score. So for some of the capped modes, it certainly got me thinking, the capped modes and things. So yeah, I'm just trying to really diversify. Just again, on top of the Premier ones launching, I did a wee bit more sort of gallery reconstruction there. I got rid of a couple of super rares at the weekend. Super rares hasn't been going very well for me. Probably the fact that obviously I've got two keepers and none of them are number one. And Carl Johan Eriksson was the number one when I bought him and lost the shirt, and then obviously moved country.
Yeah.
So I've still got him in the gallery, but I did sell Jack Henry super rare, who obviously has been recalled from his quite unsuccessful loan spell in Italy. So yeah, I made about £450-£500 on him. So between the sale of him, and I did a swap with our Polish trader friend, who maybe isn't quite as friendly as he once was based on his current rates, but I did send in Aziz Behic, Dundee United super rare, and a couple of J League cards to get Johnny Russell Limited and Ben Davies rare. He's wearing a Liverpool shirt, but obviously he's at Rangers now. So yeah, I've done a wee bit of jiggery pokery with the gallery, and I did acquire a limited Jay Gorter card for the under 23s just as part of the challenge. I will now sell the Guyton Cookie.
I did see that. That was a promising signing. Just before we move on from the Premier League, though, I set up a private league under the AVFTD pod banner. If you're interested in joining it, we have got just shy of 200 have entered it already. And if you want to join, I've got a link on, I'll post it onto the AVFTD pod Twitter account. But if you want to join, if you've got a pen or whatever ready, or you could just pause and come back to it. But if you use the code HPHQVB, you'll be able to enter the league and compete. It's purely with the commons, so it's open to everybody. Even if you're a, you know, somebody that's been on the fence about joining, you know, just listens to, you know, kind of football podcasts or what have you, you can sign up. You can use Russ's link. You can go to scotlandsurreyor.co.uk and you can sign up there using his link, or you can go on to Surreyor on the Budget and that'll take you to the Surreyor site as well, and you can sign up using that one. So you've got the choice of the pair of us there, but it would allow you to join the league and participate. You know, we're going to get a limited Premier League player for the winner. Depending on how many entries we do get, we might have a couple other smaller prizes to put in there as well. But yeah, just a little bit of fun. It's only running to the end of March. That way, you know, it's a short period, you know, to keep everybody interested, and then we can maybe look at a one for the run-in as well. But that's the Premier League. Quite happy with that. Obviously, there was a fair bit of social media stuff for us going on about it. Surreyor obviously went kind of heavy in with some more influencers from different platforms. I did see quite a few guys that I recognised from the FIFA world, for example. But it's not been anything like what had happened, and obviously what we discussed on the previous pod, referencing, you know, the situation where people who hadn't invested were getting hundreds and hundreds of pounds worth of cards, and then, you know, using links to and incentivising people to sign up and things like that. These guys have been given things like Premier League tickets to give away, but it's not using their link and things like that. It's just to get people involved, you know, join my private league and win these tickets and stuff. So it's good to see. Maybe obviously there's been a little bit of acknowledgement, I would say, from Surreyor on the fact that where things went was probably wrong. I think it's completely fair to say. And I, you know, obviously from conversations I had with Ty, which we'd kind of discussed, you know, on the podcast, that I hadn't had a response to the email. I very quickly got a response after the podcast came out. And then we had a bit of back and forth and discussed, you know, where our stance was with it. And obviously he explained, you know, where maybe they'd gone wrong and apologised for it. And very next day, we've got a new set of guidelines, which levels the playing field for all, which I think was great. Is, you know, it's acknowledging, you know, the uproar and backlash, I would say, Russ. And I think that was, you know, again, they have reacted and they have now, you know, as I say, with these other influencers, it's join my private league. So you're actually having to play Surreyor to win these prizes. And I think that is a big win. I think that's what they want. They need engagement. And if you get people to play these leagues, like we've seen at the World Cup, it does have a knock-on effect to people signing up and buying their own cards at that point. So I think that's definitely a winner, Russ. I'll let you have your floor as to what, obviously, what's kind of, you know, come from the, since our last podcast, basically.
Yeah, and I think that was it our most listened to podcast to date.
Yes, I'll get the numbers. Not to put the actual numbers out there of numbers of listens, but it's I believe audience overview. Let's have a look here. It's our most listened podcast by 15%. And this one was only out, you know, a fortnight. And we're talking about against episodes like the Scottish, when the Scottish leagues returned, and we did episode 17.
Yeah.
That was our highest episode before this one. And this one surged past it in about 3 days. And I'm well aware that it was listened to by people at Surreyor, from guys that have DM'd me directly about it and things like that. It was definitely listened to. And I just love that, obviously, we got, you know, quick interaction and we did get quick resolution, I would say, to be honest. So
yeah, I think you know, unfortunately, as I said, the only sort of example at the time of that last pod was the girl Holly, and you know, by I think we, you know, we did mention by no means it was a witch hunt, it was just the fact that that was the visible example. Yeah. Sorry, that everybody could see, and you know, obviously thousands of people were seeing it. To be fair, the issue has been, in my eyes, certainly completely addressed now. You quite rightly said there was some interaction back and forth with the powers that be at Surreyor. I think, you know, victory for the common man. You know, I think we've made no bones about it. We're not at the wheel end of of the game. We're punching around the bottom and the middle, I suppose, in relation to gallery size. And yeah, just I'd like to think that we just always try and put kind of A, we'll always look at the devil's advocate perspective. So we'll not just play into the hands of the brand. We will question things when we're not happy with it or if we can see a valid reason for it. But yeah, I think we'll always kind of try and look at all sides of the story. A lot of the times, I think you mentioned on the last pod as well, a lot of the times we agree on lots of things. I'm guessing that's probably due to having a kind of similar outlook and maybe also quite low tolerance levels on certain things.
Quite possibly. I am a bus driver. My tolerance levels are very low.
But yeah, just in the main, I'm happy with the outcome. The guidance, obviously, like you say, came out officially for all the affiliates, which was good. You've hit the nail on the head with a lot of the things I've seen. I've not done a giveaway myself. I do plan to. I've been looking at a couple of things that I'm trying to do that link kind of to the website and stuff. I do plan to do them. I've not done anything. I've not been trying to encourage sign-ups myself recently or anything. Most of the people that have signed up are from my sort of fantasy football sort of related activities and people that I know personally. I think I've probably got less than half a dozen people that have signed up through me. And I've never been one for, I don't post my link or anything like that very often. If someone stumbles across it, good and well. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything moving in the right direction. The main thing is, so they've got their big league launched. We definitely have numbers increasing, which is good. It affects the whole market, because if you've just signed up and you're playing, what is it, four or five different common games you can play at the moment?
Yeah, five now, yeah.
Yeah, so five different common games for free. And then you maybe dabble and buy a few limited cards and then you start to quite like it, realising that you don't have to buy 11, you've only got to buy five or four. And then you start to get into it, then you're going to diverse into the other leagues over time, like we have. Hand on heart, when I first started the game, my interest in Asian football, even though I do all my quizzes and all my football stuff and all my Stato stuff, my interest in Asian football has never been strong. But did I dabble and, build a couple of teams and things just to try it? Yes, I did. So that affects the marketplace, because all those cards that I bought over that period of time, and it probably must have been 15, 20, and you were really into the Asian football market at that point, and you were kind of guiding me on some of them, and I was guiding you on the MLS, and we were just switching the info. But what it did result in was 15 or 20 people getting a card sale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, I genuinely can't find a negative, and I know that there were some social media posts just in the aftermath. And I'll be honest, I just think it was absolutely ridiculous. People saying, I'm away to leave the game, that's the rare sold out type thing. It was objective. It was the main objective from the day that the game launched, was get the best, get the most popular league in world football. And as a Scotsman, a passionate Scotsman sitting here, it pains me to an extent, given in the late 80s and the 90s, the Scottish and English league, there wasn't really that much between the top clubs financially. And now there's obviously light years between us. But the English Premier League is the most watched league in the world. So for people to be coming out on social media saying, that's it, selling up, it's like...
It's embarrassing.
What are you thinking? Yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I've seen a few of those. And do you know what? Sometimes it might not always seem like it, but on Twitter, I do try to bite my tongue sometimes. Where I see things, and I seen those kind of things, and I was like, what planet are you living on? Oh, well, that's going to be the scores. The people that were moaning about it weren't winning anything anyway. So adios. If that's really your thing, then, delete your Stan account and go and, go back to your real life, and we could probably move on. But yeah, I can't imagine what would cause you to think that, Russ. Could you think of a single reason other than, now you'll have all the big Man City players, which in fairness, the biggest ones, Haaland, De Bruyne and such, already had cards. I can't see, no offence to some of the teams, I can't see a Everton stack, you know, causing anybody any real harm. It might do now that Dyche is in, they've actually got a manager now. But just as an example, I can't see those kind of stacks, you know, being you know, a huge impact. And if you look at the scores on the whole, yes, there are some really high scoring cards, but there's also cards that you could get better cards for a fraction of the money. As I said 100%. At the start of the pod, you know, there are much better cards, you get a fraction of the cost. But these are the household names and that's the premium you're going to pay for them. But yeah, to turn around and say that you're going to leave the platform because the Premier League came in, really? That's very much into the get a grip territory, Russ. That maybe be a new that should be a new segment on the podcast, the get a grip segment, and we could just call out utter nonsense and tosh like this.
Put people in the bin.
Tosh from the bill.
No.
Tosh from the bill with the mustache and everything.
Before
like
my
that.
Time.
Away you go. You're older than me. You're probably out doing other things at that age, because I mean, you would have probably been about 32 when the bill came out in the 80s. So nonetheless, but yeah, I think we've kind of covered that one there. And it's, yeah, kudos to Sarir, you know, for reacting to what was done, you know, what doing what needed to be done, and obviously getting the Premier League on board there as well. So it's been all positive from that aspect. If we move on to the competitions, Russ, obviously, we were going to look a little bit at strategy before the start of the capped game weeks last week. But, you know, between you being unwell and me still having, you know, a cough, I don't think we would have got through about 10 minutes of actually looking at things. Obviously, the weekend passed there. Let's have a quick look at how you fared, how I fared. And we can maybe, obviously, we've crunched some numbers. We are looking at Monday night, so there are still games going ahead and things like that, but it's not many. So we are going to take a look at, you know, how many people have actually won thresholds, etc. But from your own perspective, Russ, how did you fare over the weekend?
I've won a card.
Okay.
Just looking at my teams here, first and foremost, I really like the variety of competitions. So, bear in mind, I'm doing this challenge. Spoke about it a few times on the pod, obviously, over the last month. But I'm using only the Scottish cards and Scottish Nationals and Scottish Premiership cards. So I was looking, thinking, oh, I could be quite restricted in what I can play. You know, I'm sitting 4 or 5 weeks ago going, right, All-Star I can play, Challenger, I could maybe play a couple of, you know, the limited versions of that. I might be able to put out a Super Rare, Challenger, or, you know, All-Star team, but only one. And I'm looking, going, right, I've got my under-23s. And at that point, I think only one of the capped modes was announced, i.e. the threshold one.
Yeah, the 240, yeah.
So I'm looking, thinking, got a gallery of 70, 80 players, and I've got 4 rare comps, I think, that I could play.
Yeah.
Obviously, now that has changed in the fact that we've got the different capped modes, which I know you're going to speak about a little bit more in relation to prizes and stuff, but I actually have to say I'm really enthusiastic just about the new competitions. I like what they've done. It does feel to me that they've almost repackaged some of the old competitions. I know we've spoke off air prior to this about it, but yeah, it feels really good for me. I'm also looking and thinking some of the guys that I know that are running with one playing keeper, but they've got maybe like 17. to 20 cards in total. They've maybe got a backup keeper and a rare keeper. And, you know, even for those guys, being able to play the capped 220 modes seems really good. One of the things that I will say, and it was just an observation before you kind of go into the points and who's done what, etc. The capped 220 limited team, there was a few guys in my sort of subgroup weren't aware that you can use a common goalkeeper and that the common goalkeeper's points will be scored.
Yes.
So they were sitting putting DNP limited goalkeepers in to put a team out, but obviously straight away you're getting 0 points for them when they're not playing, which is leaving a big ask for your remaining 4 players, i.e. all 4 players arguably getting a decisive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think just probably for anybody that hasn't looped properly at the cap 20s, if you play the limited, you can use a common keeper. I used a limited Liam Kelly in my rare capped 220 this past week, Don't get me wrong, it didn't fare particularly well. Just try to look here and see if I can actually find my score. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it was pretty poor. Chris Carden-Rare had a poor game. Fashion Sakala didn't do anything for Rangers. The normally consistent but suddenly out of form Sean Gossett Motherwell was poor. And Lewis Mayo, the young Ranger on loan at Kilmarnock, was my highest scoring card. So normally I would look at that and go Caden and Sakala. Obviously Caden came off the bench because he had a hamstring or a knee sort of complaint. Not enough to keep him out of the game, obviously, but I'm looking at that normally going, right, Caden, Sakala, Mayo, okay, Goss numbers. I'm looking, thinking that would do okay. And it was actually really, really poor. That wasn't where I won my prize. But yeah, I have to say, I'm really, really optimistic about the new competitions. I think they will be tweaked. And I just suppose if you just want to give your thoughts and maybe some numbers around who hit thresholds in the 240s.
Well, that was just to touch on a point you made there. There was one thing that when I posted up my teams before the deadline, I want to say maybe the Thursday night, Friday morning, whatever it may have been. And when I put up like the cap 220 for rare and limited, I got asked those questions. Oh, are they, you know, is the lesser card, you know, be it the limited or the common, are they scoring, for example? Because the common card used to only get, what was it, a 40% penalty or something like that that you used to get against it?
Yeah, 40.
Or more, 60%? I can't quite remember, but whatever percent.
I think it was 40, I think, yeah.
And so that was quite a hefty penalty against them. But no, this is actually allowing you to play the game. You know, I built a team for the limited for sub 20 quid, and I ended up two of the boys sold right before the deadline, and one turned out to be injured, and I didn't realise the two that I picked to replace them got a combined 30 points, but that's neither here nor there, but it just goes to show, like with that one, you could use any of your goalkeepers that you've drafted, so. If you're smart and you've gone and looked at, you know, the scores and things like that, I started with Lloris, and I probably would have got the same sort of score, to be honest, because you obviously ended up keeping a clean sheet against City. But I used Nubel from Monaco, and he got a clean sheet, 70.4 points. And that ended up being almost half my points that I got. But nonetheless, it just goes to show you that, yeah, you can build a team still and still play, you know, with a relatively modest budget of, you know, 20, 30 quid, because you're not having to spend on superstars because you've got to fit in with that 220-point cap. So, yeah, it's worth it. And the good thing is you can go back in and once you've picked your teams, you can go back in and swap two cards a week, I think, for each of the common leagues. So if one of your goalkeepers starts to score too high, you can always go back in and change it and what have you. But, yeah, I had... I won the threshold in cap 240. I scored 269 points. I think I've been opted up twice in that. But I only missed out on a card by 20 points. So it just goes to show, and that was with one player coming off the bench and only getting 26, and Danny Armstrong, who's normally reliable for a good 50, he only scored 32. So, you know, it wasn't a world-beating team. It was just a good score. So it obviously goes to look at, you know, how the strategies are and where people are obviously now spreading, you know, their teams still. Maybe an All-Star, maybe some people hadn't really realised, you know, that All-Star wasn't where you're going to get your threshold anymore and have still, you know, plumped a team in there. Or, you know, people maybe do what I did, where I spread my players across two teams, knowing I didn't really have enough rare players to make up the two, because I had one that was definitely injured in Kevin Nisbet and one that was likely injured in one of my Stanic from the Croatian League. He'd gone off injured the previous week, so I knew there was a chance he wouldn't play. But I didn't, instead of just saying, you know what, I'll just go with the one team, where I would have won a card quite comfortably, I would have won a tier two, I spread it between the two and only won the ETH. So, you know, it's looking at way, you know, your actual strategies for it. But if we're going to crunch some numbers, Russ, we'll have a quick look at these numbers and maybe just discuss them. So we'll look at the threshold, how many people won the threshold first, and then look at the card scores.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what we've done is we've crunched the numbers for the limited cards, the rare cards, and the super rare cards as to who won, you know, how many people won. So for limited, you had 18,512 entries. And as of tonight at 8:30, so that's prior to, you know, a lot of the games finishing or any overnight games, there was 4,144 people won the $5 threshold, which I think, if you've been playing the game for a long time, Russ, like us, I think if you look at that one and think the $5, it maybe gets sniffed at, you know, probably wrongly, because if you did it every week, it's $250, which is, what, 200 quid? And you'd still have your cards to, you know, to sell. But yeah, so that's 22% of entries in limited won the threshold, which I think is actually not a bad total, given you've got no bonus and you've got this cap of 240. So I don't think it's a terribly low amount. I think anything around 20% is probably going to be just about right, to be honest. In rare, 9,561 entries, Russ, and 1,693 hit the $50, which is 17%. And then the super rares, where you were winning $100, am I right? I think it is. And you've got 105 people achieved that from the 618 entries. So on the whole, yeah, we're in and about that 20%. Obviously, the gripe's going to come from the other 80 that didn't achieve it. But that said, I still think, as I said a couple of weeks ago when it was announced, I don't think the competition that we've played this past weekend will be the same competition we're playing in mid-March, end of March. I think it will be tweaked. Whether it's just to allow, you know, a captain bonus of 20% or something, or allow the XP bonus that people have worked up, you know, over time for the cap 240. I do think there'll be tweaks, Russ, but just looking at the payouts, do you think that's lower than you expected, higher than you expected, or had you genuinely not given it any thought as to what percentage we'd be looking at?
I think on the rares, I thought it would be a bit more, to be honest. I thought that there'd be more people we would get through it. The limited, I hadn't really given it any thought, to be honest. However, I look at my own limited cap 240 team, and I probably would have hit. I took the gamble of putting in Nicky Clark in my strikers, and Nicky missed the game. So I played with four and hit 200 points with four players.
Mm-hmm.
So really was only the 50 points short, possibly could have had that. Super rares, it's completely new. And the thing with super rares, and obviously I've had a limited amount of success with super rares. So I think I've won two cards in all the time I've been playing it, which is now about 4.5 months. What I found with super rares is there are a lot of people putting out sort of like three quarter teams, or they're a man short or two men short. So yeah, I would think that the hundred guys getting it most weeks is probably about right. Obviously, that's a fantastic. If you look at the perspective, I suppose, of that, if you're only going to be looking at upgrading your super rares, then yeah, it's probably not a lot of money. But if you're obviously winning that, you know, I think it worked out at 0.06. Which is $100, which was 0.06 ETH, which was equivalent, I think, of 80 euros. If you plant that money into rare, then, you know, two wins of that, and you're looking at buying, you know, well, I bought, like, for example, Nicholas Raskin that's just joined Rangers. Yeah. That's what he cost. So you win that, you know, the blue super rare threshold 2 weeks in a row, and you can go out and buy a red card like that, that in theory, and I know he's just started playing for them and he's not fit yet, etc. But he got a score, I think, 41 there from a cameo. A card like that could be, there's no reason that some of those Rangers cards won't be valued up around the same price as some of those Celtic cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's different ways of looking at it. Does it keep filtering money into the game? And I know that the limited, there'll be guys that get it and go, well, it's only that. But it might allow you to buy another limited card or sell a limited card and slightly better. And it is going to be slight, But if you can keep on improving your gallery or saving up, or maybe slowly but surely moving the rares, like you said, what was it, £250? $250 over the course of a season?
Yeah.
That's one really good rare striker. That's a Kevin Nisbet or a Lauren Shankland, yeah, or a, you know, Zeno Gano in the Jupiler or whoever. You know, there's loads and loads of strikers you could buy at the rare level for that, that even if you were just wanting to buy and sell a few players and do a bit of trading.
Well, that's it. It gives you the opportunity to do exactly that. You know, if you've got your team set and you're really comfortable with it and you don't want to improve on it, you could, as you say, pick up two or three other cards at £1, £2 each. And if you get them sold for three, you're at a profit and you could just recycle it and keep doing that and start trading your way up. I've quickly, whilst you're talking there, Russ, I've crunched the numbers into what that actually means in kind of pounds. You're looking at, for the limiteds, roughly £17,000 will be getting paid out in limited competitions for the thresholds. For rare, it's £70,000 in total. And in the super rares, it's £9,000. So that's actually the lowest one that's paying out because, again, it's fewest competitions. So it's still showing that obviously the rare, yeah, is where the heavy money is getting paid out, because that's what everybody's always done. You know, that we've always played it this way. So it's put in the better part. I mean, what's that? £96,000? Probably by the end of tonight, it could be close to 100. Into the platform in one game week. Now, I'd have to go back and double check what that was previously, but that's still a lot of liquidity to put back into the market. You know, I think that would definitely help stimulate that. But another thing that helps stimulate the market is when people have won new cards and they're looking to sell them, Russ. So, again, we've crunched the numbers on what the score tallies you needed to win the cards was. So let's start with the cap 220. In limited, to win a card now, this is, again, 8:30 tonight. These numbers are probably going to fluctuate by 2 or 3 points. But you were needing 277 to be in the cards in limited, and you only needed 257 in rare. Now, the reason I think that's got such a vast difference is obviously the rare one, people are going to use a cheap limited. Some people have possibly even used the DNP, Russ, because they've not realised, as we discussed. But also with the limited ones, you're able to use a common, and you could have went and put in, you know, any top. You could have, you know, if you had Pickford, for example, you could have put him in and built your team around there. He's kept a clean sheet. You're going to get a higher level of scores. With the cap 240, Russ, it was 285 points in limited and 288 in rare, almost in line with each other, which you would imagine it would be because you've got no percentage bonuses. You know, you've got no, you need five of the scarcity to play in those competitions. So you need five limiteds or five rares. So that one being dead in line, I think is exactly how it should be. And then cap 270, where you are getting your XP bonuses and your captain bonus, which is 50%, Russ, is that right?
Yeah, it was 50, yeah.
Yeah, so it's limited was 333 and rare was 322. So not too dissimilar again. So the only one with any real disparity between what you needed for them, Russ, was the cap 220. And again, just thinking off the top of my head, being able to use the limited card and it maybe being a higher quality one than you know, what you would have to go and pay for, probably the reason why that's maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to settle. I completely agree. I think there will be an element of rumblings from this rare community just on the amount of rare, you know, the amount of rare threshold winners. It's definitely reduced. Mm. I think we mentioned it briefly before coming on air, and I can't honestly remember what episode it was, but there was a couple of the early episodes of the pod, and we were looking at the threshold winners when there was a, I think there was a risk that it was maybe going to be going at one point, and there was a lot of talk in the community. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was somewhere around about 10 to 12,000. Now, there was no other thresholds. It was only rare, obviously, which was obviously placed in the rare all-star competition, or global, as it was also called. I'm just looking, obviously, the rare 240 competition there. So you would have won a card with 288. I had a team that would have just fit in, I think, in the 240 that I put in All-Star instead, and it hit 317 points.
Yeah.
And I have managed to get a tier three rare from it. But yeah, quite interesting. I think there'll be a lot of guys that are just, I think we're all going to have to just really kind of try and establish who goes where. You know, I quite like stacking the players, you know. So if I've got Hibs guys, I've got Hearts guys, I've got a couple of Aberdeen, I've got some cards now that I've decided that are, you know, not part of my plans, and then I've got some English based Scottish players now as well. So I'm now looking and thinking, right, where are the best, you know, best teams to put them in? And I'm also now looking at the fact of, right, do I play rare all-star challenger, the 220, 240, 270 and under-23s to give me six rare teams? It will require me buying one more goalkeeper to do so. But right now I'm looking and thinking, I just can't compete in super rare at all until I get one of my goalkeepers playing. So I'd maybe have to shelve that for a while. I have sold two blue cards. Do I just concentrate on rare? I quite like, obviously, the limited as well. And I know that we, a long, long time ago, were completely off the limited and before the threshold and everything, but I find the market quite buoyant.
Yeah, it's very fluid. If you want rid of a card, you'll get it sold pretty swiftly, I'd say. Maybe a goalkeeper's a bit harder, but the rest, yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on.
Yeah, for me, it's, there's been so much change within the game. And I know that a lot of the newer guys will be like, whoa, what is actually going on here? They don't know what they're playing. They don't know what the best team is. That's probably one of the most common questions I've had in the last 7 days. And I've had it from, you know, I've had the same message from an account with 7 followers and one that almost has 1 million followers that's from the FIFA Ultimate Team. And they both asked the same question. Where should I put my players? What team should I play? And it boils down to how many goalkeepers you've got, first and foremost, for me. That's the simple thing. How many goalkeepers do you have? If you've only got one rare goalkeeper, then theoretically, for me, you should be putting it in cap 240, because that's where the threshold is, which is where it allows you to play the game. You're not playing against everybody else. You're just basically trying to get those 250 points. If you have one rare goalkeeper and one limited goalkeeper, then you've then got the choice. Do you play limited 240 as well, or do you play, if you've got lots of rare cards, so if you're looking in your gallery and you've got more rare cards than you do limited cards, then for me, I would be putting the limited goalkeeper in the cap 220 rare, along with 4 rare cards. So you look at your gallery, how many cards do you have? What do you have most of? Do you have most rares? Do you have most limiteds? Have you only got a token gesture of either? Play to your strengths, and you know, it's just all about establishing where you are strongest. I've also seen guys that have got galleries that have maybe got, you know, there's a couple of guys I know, and they've got galleries of like 100 players plus. And I look and go, you can't even field 4 strong teams. You can't genuinely field 4 or 5 strong teams yet. You've got over 100 cards. So in that scenario, do you look at selling off cards and then getting stronger players to play certain competitions? The 270 obviously is quite a, you know, I don't find that really that restrictive in relation to its last 15 averages for the 270, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't find that too restrictive. You can get some absolute quality players all stacked in a lineup together. I have to say I'm really, really positive. It's not often that I can't really find anything in particular to moan about at all, or to kind of look at it in a negative sort of way or play devil's advocate against, but I'm in a really good place with the direction that I feel the platform's trying to get to, and the way that it's trying to onboard people, progress people. And in the end of the day, you know, I'm looking here just now, you can pay 5 or 6 competitions in total for less than £15.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head when you said about, you know, the progression aspect, and that is massive. You know, you're actually, you can see, you know, the avenue to progression. Whereas if we go back a year, you know, limited to rare was a big jump. You know, you either played one or the other, really, unless you were rare and you were also playing limited. But to go from limited to rare was a massive step. And again, probably a bigger gap from rare to super rare. You know, it's it was a huge, huge jump. Whereas now you can actually look at it, you could see, you know, that you now you've got the opportunity to win. You know, there's more competitions to win cards in. There's more opportunity to win thresholds across all the scarcities now. So you can build up, you know, a bit of a better gallery. The 240 and 270, you can win cards from the higher scarcity. Not many, I will grant you, not many, but you do have that opportunity. But not, you know, it does show the opportunity for progression. Just to go to, you know, if we were to look at, you know, the makeup, the general makeup of the team, you know, for Cap 240, for example, my goal has been to have one, my goalkeeper, obviously, is, you know, I'm looking for my goalkeeper to probably be the weaker link as such, because, you know, unless they keep a clean sheet or, you know, even less likely get a penalty save or something like that, they're going to score roughly 40 points anyway, you know, unless they concede multiple goals. So I've been looking for goalkeepers that have kind of been in that 37, 38, 39, 40 point average, because yeah, I could then take the excess amount and spread it across my other players, which allowed me, for example, to, you know, last midweek to squeeze in Shankland and Nisbet in the same lineup because Marshall was only a 37 average. So it allowed you to kind of take that 240 points and spread it out a little bit thinner. You know, and it was, I've quite enjoyed that aspect of it, you know, actually sitting and trying to figure out what's my best plan here in terms of, you know, getting the best out of these lineups. And I think what it did do, though, this week, as I mentioned earlier, Russ, was it cost me, probably cost me a card because I tried to spread myself maybe too thin. Because of injuries and things like that, I didn't maybe put in the best possible lineups. But that's going to be part of the journey. But is there any kind of tips you've early looked at, or are you literally just finding the numbers and like, okay, he fits in there, just like a jigsaw puzzle, trying to fit, right, okay, he fits in, that leaves me 47. Who have I got that's 47? I did do that at points with the limited ones, I'll be perfectly honest. But with the rares, that's where I have been looking at, as a lower-end goalkeeper allowing me to get higher outfield players.
Obviously, I've got the restriction. So my goalkeeper, my rare goalkeepers are Xander Clark at Hearts, who was on a higher average, mm-hmm. and then David Marshall and Trevor Carson. And those guys have actually got slightly lower averages. And like you say, they were my only options anyway. But I definitely seen it as advantageous if your goalkeeper is not taking up your lion's share of the points.
Yeah.
So guys like that, I think, are reasonable value at the moment. So Birigiti, Carson, you know, Liam Kelly and Motherwell are struggling. They really are struggling. We spoke about this prior to, again, coming on air. But Liam Kelly's got a really, really low average. There are definitely Scottish options that are out there. But like everything else, there are options in, you know, the rest of Challenger Europe that are pretty cheap as well. What I have been trying to do, and I've just done up to game week 3-4-3, is I've updated the Opta performance charts for the entire league again. I am going to publish them at some point this week when I've got a little bit more time. Right across, I'll do the goalkeepers, I'll do them by position, and then I'll do them by club and probably put them on the club pages of the Scotland Surrey website. I'll maybe do a couple of snapshots as well. But again, I'm just trying to look for really good sort of good value and good sort of, I'm trying to look for good scores for a good price, or a, you know, and that might not necessarily be the highest scoring last five. It could be that basically I'm just looking for somebody that consistently gets points on the board. So a prime example of that, and you know, would be somebody like, say, Nicky Devlin. Nicky Devlin is the top-scoring Livingston card this season. And I think he's coming in round about, what, maybe £40? £40, £50 for a rare. That's somebody that's obviously charging up and down the wing. I think you probably would have been listening as well to Sports Sound, the Scottish radio programme on Saturday. And I think pretty much every pundit agreed that Nicky Devlin was the arguably the third best right back based on performances this season that was mentioned. So I'm looking for bargains and guys like that that I can look at and think, right, okay, could they fit in a 240? Could they be maybe perhaps the weakest link in the scores, but actually they're not that weak, you know, especially if Livingston were at home, for example. So I'm doing a lot of home and away analysis. You could sing if you want the Australian theme.
No, I'm fine
no,
with that. I'm
no,
fine with that.
okay.
Prefer theirs anyway.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You do remind me of Joe Mangle a tiny little bit.
That is absolutely outrageous. And on that note, I'm going to end the podcast for good. Joe Mangle, jeez, oh.
Yeah, how many's Ute? I'm looking at home and away players, home and away forum. We've got certain teams that are good at home. So in the Scottish League, we know that St Mirren are good at home, Livingston are decent at home, Aberdeen are okay at home. But then we know that there are certain teams that are diabolical away from home. So Aberdeen fall into that category. St Mirren aren't the greatest travelling, neither are Ross County. Dundee United are pretty poor home and away. So yeah, just trying to get a little bit of strategy around it. Try to keep an eye on players coming into form, players that are always playing as well, which is quite key. So guys like, you know, Liam Smith at Dundee United, you know what I mean? If he's fit, he plays, and you know, I think he's one of the ever presents at United this season. Sean Kelly at Livingston, I think, has only missed one game. So just cards like that, guys like that, that I think are pretty useful. And you mentioned about 15 minutes ago, just about price in relation to, you know, scores for the English Premiership.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just looking at some of the options here just now, and you've got you know, guys that are up round about, you know, you've got Kepa, for example, that's sitting at an ETH just now in bidding, you know, on the go with a couple of hours to go. But, you know, you've also got other guys that are sitting at like 0.2, 0.3 that have got last average scores of roughly the same as a lot of these Scottish cards that you can pick for 40, £50, you know. So yeah, it's all about being... I get that there'll be lots of people will want players from their team. You know, you did it. You filled your gallery full of limited Dundee players when they were still in the league. And I did it with rares for Dundee United because I wanted to have a Dundee United stack. And I totally get it. But there also comes a point, I guess, when you're actually trying to realise that you're playing this game to win. You're playing this game to win money and win cards.
Yeah.
That has to be the objective if you're playing Serie A, certainly at the rare level. I think the limited and the common's a bit more obviously fun-based, but if you're playing at rare level and you're taking it relatively serious where you've got at least one goalkeeper, that means to me that you've got at least a minimum of, what, £500-600 in the platform. So you have to be playing to win, surely.
Yeah. You've got, I mean, like, unless obviously you've got a monstrous amount of disposable income and you're just doing a wee collector's album or what have you. But yeah, no, I do agree. You are obviously looking to win, and it's something I think you kind of constantly have to have a look at, especially now if you're sitting with a team that's right at that 240 points. One good performance is going to push you over. A bad performance could bring some of the other players down and allow you a wee bit more flexibility, you know, within that to try and build better teams. And also kind of just looking ahead to forward, you know, forward to future weeks and seeing, right, okay, for instance, you know, this weekend, the Scottish fixtures are not there because it's Scottish Cup weekend. So, you know, obviously, in the background, I've now got my Austrian team that I could put in because they come back this weekend. So, you know, you are trying to look ahead and, you know, plan for down weeks and things like that. So, yeah, you know what, again, it's one of those, we've kind of had an opposite podcast this week to the last one where I felt we end up, obviously it was things that were needing to be said and things like that, and it was very a downer episode, but I think we're both quite clearly quite buoyant about where things are just now, Russ, and hopefully moving forward we'll continue to see that. Before we, you know, call it a night, obviously we had the end of the transfer window. There were a number of transfers that happened late on, a lot of red crosses. Every time I seemed to look, there was another red cross was appearing. You know, then we had some cards that, you know, lost their red cross because they came into the league. So there's obviously been quite a quite a number. I know you've got them actually on your site at the moment, and obviously you've got them all listed. So if you do want to see all the transfers over the kind of January period, scotlandsurreyor.co.uk, scroll down, you'll find the Scottish transfer section. And Russ has got it split into, you know, cards that have lost utility, cards that have gained utility or gained challenger utility and things like that. So it's a really good starting point if you are wanting to go and see, right, okay, why has my player now got a red cross against them? Or maybe players that have come from, as you say, the red cross into the league. So was there any particular transfers that stood out to you, Russ, that, you know, either you were surprised by or ones that you were kind of excited by that it meant you were able to go and pick up? Obviously, you picked up Jay Gorter from Ajax, who went to Aberdeen. So that was obviously a big one for you because that gave you, finally gave you an under 23 goalkeeper for the Scottish League. So was there any other ones that kind of caught your eye?
Yeah, the idea behind that obviously is I can now sell the limited Guyton Cookie. I would quite like to buy the rare as well, but it's a little bit too expensive in relation to what I can sell Cookie for. It would mean quite a heavy investment. So I did notice that there was quite a lot that we'd actually spoke about, and I think a couple of pods ago, I think it was maybe three pods ago, there was many, many players that I thought would leave the clubs that kind of did come to fruition. I was a little bit, well, I was and I wasn't surprised with Anthony Stewart, Aberdeen obviously going out on loan. Obviously, there was quite a bit of, there's been discipline problems, there was the public sort of, like, there was the element of the race issue as well that was kind of in the media and things as well. There was a couple of incidents. So to see him go wasn't a surprise in that respect, but to see obviously Aberdeen, you know, move out their captain on deadline day, or their captain at the time, that was an element of surprise. I did give the guy that held the unique the heads up on it as soon as I could kind of see that something was a way to happen. So hopefully saved him a four-figure bullet, because I think he managed to get it into Pavel just in time before it lost all value. So sorry to the Pole if he's listening, but hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I was disappointed to see Ethan Erhahon move to Lincoln City, of all clubs, from St Mirren. I think he could do a little bit better. I think he's a really good player. So I was disappointed to see that one. I noticed one of the cards in your gallery, Zach Rudden moving to St Johnston from his Red X Dundee on loan.
Yeah, mine's has got 10.5% on him. So yeah. That's a stealthy one. But I think it's an interesting one, because that St Johnston now got, I would probably argue, a similar player to Stevie May that they've already got there. Not an out-and-out goal scorer. You'd probably leave that to other players, but he was Dundee's joint top goal scorer for the season. But I still felt he could have had double the goals. Just maybe for whatever reason, just didn't fit into the system. But good luck to him. He is only on loan, so he's obviously got the opportunity to come back. I didn't really see any word on whether that was a loan to buy.
I'm not sure, and they've also got Chris Kane, who's returned to training now.
So it's possibly a short term.
Who's also similar-ish in style and look.
Yeah, with the head of hair. Or maybe Stevie May could just, you know, cut the wee haircuts, sort the boys out, and they don't even need to go to Turkey for it. They could just get, you know, a couple of wee Stevie May wigs. They're sorted. Do you know what I mean? I think it'd only be fair.
Matthew Hawk, Nicky, was another one that I noticed.
Yeah, I was going to say, just very quickly, Nicky, could you pass that on? Ask Stevie if he could give them some hair each. That would probably help the boys out a wee bit. So
Cut the locks.
Share the love. Matthew Hawk.
Picked a limited up. I didn't. I was beaten to the rare by Hendo by a few seconds. I sat and dithered on it. It was keenly priced, but again, at that point, it wasn't sure of the Nisbet injury to the extent of how serious that was. So I dithered on Matthew Hopp and I went to press the button. I think it was about £75, and it said, "Oh, new owner, Hendo." So well done, you beat me to that one.
In fairness, or just on that one, for folks that are holding Kevin Nisbet, it is the lowest grade of injury for a hamstring injury. And they're expecting him to be back when they face Kilmarnock. So keep an eye on the lineups for the weekend. I don't think he'll be anywhere near any of those, but if you see him at least on the bench, that would be a bonus. But I would, to be honest, I probably won't use him in my lineup against Kilmarnock. I might hold him out because he might come back as a sub. Just depends, I guess, on how Hibs are performing. Just with that type of injury.
Yeah, I'll put him probably in my in the team that I have least expectation for if I need to use him.
Any of them, Russ. Any of them.
Wow. I picked up a Nicholas Raskin, rare. I'm quite excited and keen to watch that. I could actually almost get myself a wee Rangers stack now with Davies, Raskin, and Sakala. I'm maybe one short. Maybe going to get Hadji.
Disgust me.
I know. I'm not proud of it. It's mainly the Sakala one.
I just don't rate him. I don't rate him at all. Eh? I know
he's hot and cold. He is hot and cold.
Jazz, but no.
And apart from that, obviously the absolute lack of activity at my own club, Dundee United, other than, you know, two or three over the course of January, two or three first team departures going out on loan, for us to basically bring nothing in other than the kid from Huddersfield Town is absolutely bonkers. The same at Kilmarnock, you know, obviously they've not done an awful lot of business either. So, we're very much going to have a relegation four-way battle, would you say? Ross County, Motherwell United?
I think County will be okay now. As I mentioned before we came on to the podcast, they recruited the top goal scorer. Well, one, I think he was joint top goal scorer in the Championship, Simon Murray.
Adeyemi,
which was absolutely fantastic for Dundee because they've signed the league leader's top goal scorer, which was just baffling as to why they would do that at that point. As you say, United with no signings other than a guy that's had one professional career game, I believe. Yeah. But he'll probably be fired into the team in the next outing because obviously of Ryan Edwards is sending off unless it's overturned. But in the words of Billy Joel, we didn't start the fire; it was always burning, Russ. And I'm enjoying watching it burn. But we'll see. But hopefully, as we mentioned before, we came online as well that the Championship's great. We've no VAR to ruin things, Russ. Come on down. Down with the Dundee. So yeah, I don't think Ross County will be still in it. You never know though. I think Motherwell are a team in serious jeopardy, but I think Dundee United, that it's just baffling. Obviously, it's no secret I'm not a fan of them, but to let Tony Watt go and not replace him with another striker, which is why I was laughing at you saying, "Here comes Kyle Lafferty. Here comes Kyle Lafferty doing his star jumps at the manager's door."
I would much rather it was Chris Martin.
Could you imagine Lafferty and Fletcher up top, combined age of 72 or something like that? Fantastic stuff.
To be fair, I actually signed Stephen Fletcher for my rare gallery this week. I've been listening, obviously, to the radio and the match comms and stuff. And I've been looking at his scores. I think he was 0.045. He has to lead the line now for us because we've no other options. I'm going to pin some hopes on Stephen Fletcher getting a few crucial goals. Our big battles lie ahead when we face Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Ross County. That's going to be our main three battles. And we also seem to quite like a battle against Aberdeen where we do not too bad against them either. So they're going to be huge, huge games. And then, of course, the Scottish League, for those that don't know, will obviously split into a top six and a bottom six. Which obviously that's where it's going to be really important because the bottom clubs are all playing each other. So I think there's going to be a couple of interesting pods as we come into sort of the April, May period where your team are battling to come up and my team are battling to stay up.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I will get my gloating hat on. But I don't think any of us picked Motherwell and Dundee United to be the bottom two.
No.
When we did our predictions at the start of the season. We've got the top two, right? Celtic and Rangers. but I don't think we've had anything like the bottom two, you know. So we'll see how it rolls in the next few weeks. But yeah, if you want to get a full update on all the players, as I say, pop over to Russ's site, scotlandsurreal.co.uk. It's also where you can get a sign-up link. And as I mentioned earlier as well, if you are still on the fence and haven't signed up, Surrey on the Budget, you could do it on there as well, surreyonthebudget.com. So one of those two will get you signed up. And also, as I mentioned, it'll be on the Twitter account, but you'll be able to join the the free league as well, Russ. As yeah. I say, it's open to all. It's a common league, so it doesn't cost anything to enter. So I don't have anything else for this week, Russ. How about yourself?
No, without further ado, it's just the usual thank you to everyone for sticking by us, listening, enjoying our dulcet tones, and we'll see you all next week.
Let's be honest, they probably enjoy mine's a little bit more than yours, Russ, but nonetheless, we'll call it a day there. Take care, guys. We'll speak to you all again next week.